Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Ramsey coming to you from Missouri. We're still going to continue on with our subject of Israel and God's exclusive covenant with them. And we're going to be talking today about the regathering of Israel from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, we must understand that regathering is not the same as the rapture. Regathering is not the same as moving them from the old country to a new country. And there are some things about the regathering that we do not know, and we will not be able to answer some questions, but we will give you what we have. There's a rather lengthy study, and there are many, many scriptures that deal with the subject. And we'll be talking about, number one, who is to be moved or regathered, and number two, when they are to be regathered, and number three is where shall they be regathered. Today we find much written and spoken in religious circles existing that the establishment of the modern Israeli state is the fulfillment of end-of-age prophecy concerning the regathering of Israel. The facts in this chapter we are studying are to prove that this is a false belief and that the bulk of the people being regathered or gathered to Israel to state today could not possibly be Israelites as a race of people. Since the seed of Abraham is genetic, and since these going to Palestine are multiracial, thus eliminating them as biblical Israelites, the only common connection is the Jewish connection of religion, sympathy, upbringing, or some false pseudo-racial association. Rather than being Israelites, these people are more likely to be the descendants of Esau. Prophecy declares Esau's descendants will be brought together for destruction, centered in Jerusalem. Many of the prophecies concerning the fate of Esau, also known as Edom or Idumea or Mount Seir or Teman, have been presented in the chapters entitled, Could the Modern Jews Be Israel? Furthermore, the timing of the Israeli buildup is incorrect if it is to be portrayed as the regathering of Israel. When we consider other events associated with the return of the nation of Israel to the land, we find the sequence does not fit the Israeli state. In this chapter, we will examine the timing factors. When writing from evangelical, Zionist, and Messianic Jewish sources are examined, a limited number of scriptures quoted by these groups are repeated over and over again to support their views claiming that the Israeli state is a fulfillment of prophecy, when in fact it is not. Well, first of all, who is to be regathered? Again, we depend upon the scriptures, and we start with the Old Testament. Those who do not believe the Old Testament is valid today are wrong. The New Testament must agree with the Old Testament. If you believe something from the New Testament that does not agree with the Old Testament, then what you believe is a wrong interpretation of the New Testament. The very titles that we find in the margins of our popular Bibles, such as regathering and Jews return, suggest correctly that this all pertains to Israel only. However, the popular acceptance is that all converted people are true Jews, meaning true Israelites, because they think the Jews are Israel, meaning the same thing, but they are not. This is a consideration that has been disproved in earlier chapters of this book, mainly on the basis that the Bible is a book about Israel and is addressed to Israel only, including the so-called Gentiles of the dispersed house of Israel and Judah. Well, what saith the law, the Psalms, and the prophets? Because that's where we must start. Considering this subject, we cannot ever move away from the foundation given by Scripture. This is that New Testament fulfills the Old Testament prophecy, as given in the Law, the Psalms, and the Prophets. All through the Old Testament, we find references to this promise of national gathering being made to the people of Israel only. This selective aspect of the gathering is a fact of Scripture, even though this may be difficult to accept because of the sentimental objections that arise from our preconditioning and religious upbringing or education. There are scriptures used to suggest that all the families of the earth are to be blessed in Abraham, but it has been demonstrated that all the families does not mean all people of all races. Without going over all this again, it might be well to ask how Israel could have been blessing to all the nations God told Israel to destroy. How could Israel destroy a nation and that be a blessing to that nation? There are many similar contradictions. For example, in Amos chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land, the earth, of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth." Something is obviously wrong with the traditional teachings. The regathering as found in the law is addressed specifically to Israel as a people and not to any other race. We read in Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 6, "And thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee, that then will the Lord thy God turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out into the uttermost part or outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and the land thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed. This is the original promise made to Israel. This has not changed, and there are things that must be noted. The people in this passage are Israel, not anybody else. Number two, God is repeatedly presented as the Lord God of Israel, not the Lord God of others. In number three, God does the gathering. They do not come back unconverted under their own steam, like the Israeli Jews of today. Number four, it is from thence, not of all nations, whether also speak of place. Number five, the time is given as when thou, Israel, shall call to mind all the things presented at Mount Sinai, and set their mind to return to the Lord and to obey his voice. There is no evidence of this in the Israeli state today. Number six, the place is given as the land which your fathers possessed. Note all the New Testament references to the fathers. It is a specific geographical place on earth. It is the land where the fathers of Israel lived. Number seven, the fulfillment is isolated to the children of the fathers. It is not the mythical spiritual children of Abraham in the sense that Galatians 3:7 is commonly taught, because the fathers includes Isaac and Jacob. This passage in Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 6, gives us the time of this event and goes on to tell us that Israel's enemies will be cursed and not be blessed. This racial separation is always present. God promises to circumcise the heart of his people and their seed so that they love the Lord and his law. Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep," John 10:7. Jesus does not say that he is the door of other races other than the sheep. Jesus gave his life for the sheep, but it is not recorded that he gave his life for goats or anyone else. Israel is often spoken of as being the sheep of his pastor. From here we go on to find the very same message that the Apostle Paul teaches in Romans 10:5 through 13, that is so often quoted in religious gospel preaching. Paul is addressing Israelites only who are stated to be brethren, kinsmen of the womb. These were of the same kin of the house of Israel who, Paul said, also knew the law, Romans 3:19 and Romans 7:1 through 4. The law was given to Israel only. 1 Chronicles 16:35-36, "And say ye, save us, O God of our Israel's salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel for ever and ever." In all these verses, kindly take note of the separation of identification that is made by the pronouns. See just who the gather us refers to, and understand how this cannot even be expected to include others. Note, God is always stated to be the Lord God of Israel. In this song of David, we find the prayer of Israel's gathering together. It's prayed by David on behalf of Israel. This regathering has not yet happened. In the New Testament, Jesus taught Israelites to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is the hope of Israel under both covenants. It is never presented as being the hope of all races, even in the New Testament. Nehemiah 1:8-10 says, "Remember, I beseech you, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heavens, yet will I gather thee from thence and will bring thee into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by the strong hand." Some might like to argue that this reference only to those of the house of Judah who returned to Jerusalem from Babylon. But the original promise was made to the whole nation. And in this verse, the gathering is from nations in the plural. Again, the action relates to the redemption of Israel. It is through the Redeemer of Israel, Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins. The place is always a specified place. It is not a condition, as many New Testament teachers suggest, but a physical place that God has chosen on earth. It is the land which our fathers possessed. The regathering in the Psalms. In Psalm 102, verse 21 and 22, to declare the name of the land, the Lord of Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together, and the kingdom of Israel to serve the Lord. In Psalm 106:47, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name. Psalm 105, verse 42-43, for he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness. This psalm is addressed to, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. It speaks of the everlasting covenant made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and refers to the land of Canaan. Psalm 107:2-3, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and the south. In verse 7 of this psalm, it is God who leads Israel into the city of habitation. This psalm is about the gathering of all the redeemed of the Lord from the east, west, north, and south. It is always to a place. It is centered upon Jerusalem. This psalm ends with the following. Psalm 107:43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. What are these things they will understand? Are they not to do with Israel and her gathering? Would it be improper to suggest that if we do not observe these things, we must therefore be lacking in understanding? Jesus pointed out the same thing in John 3:12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, a master in Israel, about knowing these things. It is absolutely necessary to understand the earthly things about Israel as a racial entity before we can even understand heavenly things. The facts concerning the gathering of Israel are most important. What about the prophets? What do they say about the regathering of Israel? Isaiah 11:9-13. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall be for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles or the nations seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day, the Lord shall set his hand again a second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, from Cush, and from Elam, from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the isles of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. Twice in this section there is a phrase, in that day. So it does not apply to any other than the time specified. This is the day when the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid. And when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah is telling us a basic fact about the house of Israel, who are at enmity against the house of Judah, until the time of the regathering of Israel. These two houses or parts of Israel must exist today as specific entities. The gathering is clearly spoken of as being of two parts that come from among not of all nations, but from all nations in the four corners of the earth. If Israel has now been taken over by the church, however could this prophecy be fulfilled? We will see a lot more about this separation between Israel and Judah as we go along. What do the end of age teachers say about the matter? Nothing. If we take this literally, we see the route Israel is to take back to the promised land as well as the timing. So far, men do not go dry shod over the Egyptian sea, verse 15. A highway expressed in verse 16 as being from Assyria is not presently manifest. The time of in that day is the time of the latter days when Jesus comes to smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, Isaiah 11:4. Reading on, we find that the time is when the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose, Isaiah 35:1. The fact that the Israeli state has organized the watering of desert area does not prove anything in itself. Do the same in the interior of Australia, and that desert will also blossom and rose. This chapter ends with, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their hearts." Those going to Palestine today are not returning this way. They do not make any claim of being ransomed. Isaiah 40, verse 5, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Isaiah 40, and verse 11, "He shall feed his flock, that is Israel, like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those with young." Could this possibly refer to the first advent? All flesh has not yet seen the glory of the Lord, but when he returns, every eye shall behold him. In the word of the Lord, we do not see a multiracial mix going back to Palestine. The glory of the Lord is revealed to all the flesh of Israel, and then he gathers his lambs. Although there is no in that day in this passage, the times are the same. The expression "in those days" or "in that day" refers to the time approaching the close of this age. What does it say in Jeremiah about the regathering? There is so much in the book of this subject that it is difficult to select quotations. In chapter 3, there is the same separation of Israel and Judah, with the same time feature as given by Isaiah. These two factors are so important, yet they are what the popular ministers have to admit to support their traditional teachings. The present Israeli state is a misfit in terms of the timing. Jeremiah 3:18 says, "In those days," that's the timing, "the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto their fathers." Once again, we find the gathering is to the same specific land area, and a repeat statement about the time of the gathering of Israel as being in those days. This is a time when Israel will no longer be walking after the imagination of their evil hearts. In this verse and in this chapter of Jeremiah, we again find the same reference to the differentiation between Israel and Judah. They are separate parts of Israel. For example, see Jeremiah 3:11, 3:18, 5:11, 11:17, and various other scriptures. Again, it has to be pointed out very clearly that something is very wrong with the popular doctrines that do not allow for this. There are many scriptures in this book of Jeremiah alone about this matter. Let us look further into Jeremiah for the gathering of those two houses. Jeremiah 23:3, "And I will gather together the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have written them, and will bring them again into their full folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase." Verse 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." So like to say that this applies to Jesus' time, but Jesus did not reign and prosper as a king at the first advent. Verse 6, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Note the unusual Israel and Judah separation, and again, that it is in the day when Jesus reigns. Verse 7 and 8, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I have driven them, and there they shall dwell in their own land. It must be noted that the gathering is only of the seed of Israel, that is, the children, the descendants of Israel. Also, the return is from the north country, singular, where Israel is to be found. Do our modern prophets agree with Jeremiah? Jeremiah goes on to say something sad and searching, yet most significant. Jeremiah 23:9, he says, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness. For both prophet and priest are profane, yet in my house have I found wickedness, saith the Lord." We can now examine the full passage above and see if today's prophets are equally profane in not believing what God says about the gathering of his people. This is the context in which Jeremiah is speaking. Should we feel as bad about it as Jeremiah did? These pastors and teachers with the universalist all races doctrine are the pastors who are said to be destroying the sheep of God's pasture, verse 1. These are hard words, and God pronounces woe on all and every one of these pastors who will not teach what Jeremiah is saying about the gathering of Israel and Judah. It is time for a personal checkup on what we believe about this to avoid this woe. First of all, those gathered are a very small remnant of the two houses, all Israel only. Secondly, they are only from God's flock, Israel. Number three, Israel as a whole are gathered from out of all countries where God had driven them. But Israel is not on the racial content, of the races of those countries. The timing is in the days of the righteous branch. This is not the first advent time, because Jesus did not yet sit on David's present throne on earth. He is yet to return to David's throne over Israel. Judah and Israel are separate entities until this time. Their present enmity has been stated clearly. Do we believe this? It is in his days that the two entities officially reunite. The middle wall partition that the Apostle Paul talks of is then broken down under the New Testament, that is made with Israel and Judah alone, Hebrews 8:8. And then Paul says, "All Israel shall be saved." In prophecy, the two parties are never other than Israel and Judah. They are never Jews and Gentiles in the ways that is commonly presented. There is no line of Old Testament prophecy that the popular teachings could have shown to fulfill. The people concerned are always the seed, genetic, of the house of Israel. The land is that which was given to their fathers, genetic. There are not two promised lands, nor is their promised land a place in which saints are raptured to be for the millennium. Israel is to dwell in their own land, the same one that was given to their fathers. They are regathered from out of the nations of earth and not from some place outside of earth from where they supposedly might have been raptured. Let us look at this passage from Jeremiah again and examine our hearts. Are we those upon whom God says he will bring evil? Are we those who caused my people Israel to err? Do we speak a vision out of our own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord? Do we say to our people or think, "No evil shall come upon you"? Have we yet marked his word and heard it? Indeed, look at the rest of this chapter of Jeremiah about teachers and pastors who carry on, stealing my words every one from his neighbor. Is what we teach or believe just what we learned at Bible college or at church? Will we yet continue not to accept what God is saying through the prophets about the regathering of Israel? Will we continue to ignore the separation of Israel and Judah? Will we continue to ignore the time when Israel is regathered and confess that this is not what is happening in the Israeli state? If we do not yet do so, we still have the rest of the prophetical books to contend with and be convinced, for all tell the same story. Let us probe this subject further in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:8-11, "Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame and the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child, together. A great company shall return thither, and they shall come with weeping, and with supplications I will lead them. He that scattered Israel shall gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. We find a place that they come from. This is another subject, as in the North countries. Women still are getting pregnant at that time, and life on earth continues. They were not raptured away anywhere, nor do they come from a place where they neither marry or are given in marriage. It is the returned Lord who leads them back. This scripture again shows the timing of this gathering. The flock is made up of two parts. Remember how Jesus said he and the other sheep that had other sheep other than the Judean fold? One is Judah, the other is the house of Israel. The two add together to make up the Jacob we see in the verse above. It is only Jacob Israel, both Israel and Judah, that is spoken of in Scripture as being redeemed. It is never a multiracial church. Note again, only Israel was given the law, and therefore only Israel needs redeeming from the broken law. In Jeremiah 31:2, it is Israel who finds grace in the wilderness. It does not include anyone else. Jeremiah 31:1, at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. God is never spoken of as the God of all races. Only Israel is my people. As God says of old, I have loved thee, Israel, with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:31 is the very chapter Paul repeats in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 8:8, telling of the New Testament that is made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The New Testament is made with none other, even in the New Testament pages. Jeremiah 32:41, yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Who and who only are planted in this land? Israel can never be spiritualized away as a church in the modern concept. Jeremiah 31:35 through 37 and 33:17 tells us that Israel will always be a people in the same way Peter does in the New Testament. This is to be so as long as the stars are shining and the moon can be seen. So Israel is still an individual two-part racial entity today, consisting of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah. Jeremiah also tells us about the house of Israel always having a monarch over them. Jeremiah 33:17, and so this part of Israel must contain a monarch today. Note again the separation of Israel and Judah in this chapter. There are no separate prophecies concerning any non-Israelite church. Jeremiah 50, verses 4, 5, and 19, in those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, and they shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way of Zion, with their faces thitherward, and I will bring Israel again to his habitation. It is always Israel and Judah only. Again, they are mentioned separately as seeking God together. There is not one drop of a stream of prophecy to the contrary. This verse is certainly not being fulfilled in the Israeli state today. Some would say that Zion is a figure of speech, or that the prophecy concerns the return of Judah to the land under Ezra and Nehemiah. But here it is both houses, not just Judah, who are mentioned as separate entities making up all Israel as being brought to his habitation. Israel will be sanctified in the eyes of all the other races when God gathers his people. Then shall they dwell in their land that I have given unto my servant Jacob, Jeremiah 28:24 through 26. The word Jacob can never include other races. The regathering of in Ezekiel, what did Ezekiel have to say? This book tells the same story in chapters 37 and 38. In particular, we find some verses are commonly extracted to support popular views. But these chapters also give a repeat of the timing factors, which immediately put this subject in the right perspective. Ezekiel was told, behold, I send you to the children of Israel, Ezekiel 2:3 and 3:1. To extend this limitation beyond the children of Israel is to deceive. We are told by the Apostle James, who wrote to the 12 tribes, that many deceivers are entered into the world. Our modern deceivers extend these 12 tribes to include every race on earth. They claim other races are joined by Israel by adoption. If this was so, then other races and churches would have to come to belong to one of the 12 tribes. They would have to be in either one or the other of the houses of Israel or Judah. Ezekiel 11:17. Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you, Israel, from the people, and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Ezekiel tells the same story as Jeremiah. He makes the same complaint about the pastors and prophets who ignore the national message of the Bible and who have not made up the hedge of the house of Israel. He says that their teaching is prophecy out of their own hearts. The rest of this chapter tells how their teaching seduces Israel. Today, the modern teachers see visions of peace for Jerusalem, and they think that the Israeli state is the start of the fulfillment. But there will be no peace in Israel, in Jerusalem, until Edom Jews are destroyed there, and the Prince of Peace brings the righteous remnant back to enjoy the abundance of peace they alone are promised. This gathering is after Esau's descendants, the Jews, have been destroyed in the land by a complete and utter destruction. God says that these false prophets will have God's hand against them, and they shall bear their iniquity, Ezekiel 14:9-11. They shall be taken out from among Israel. It is God who is saying these things, like it or not. We can see the severity of God in this, and just how seriously we must take heed of this message. Although Israel is punished much for their abominations, God says in Ezekiel 6:60, nevertheless I will remember my covenant with thee, Israel, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. But the gathering of Israel from among the nations wherein you are scattered, the countries where you are scattered, is with fiery purging and judgment, Ezekiel 20:34-38. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword. Can we perceive the sword sharpened as Ezekiel did? Or do we prophesy lies, saying God's people shall be raptured away out of it? God's principles is always the unrighteous shall be severed from among the just. How dare our teachers reverse what Jesus says? They teach that the righteous are raptured away from the wicked. But that's the opposite of what Jesus said. These teachers must face their judgment. In the parable of the tares and the wheat, is it not the tares who are first burned? We must have a good think about this. Ezekiel 34 is too long to quote, but it is a mine of treasure on the subject of the gathering of Israel. It ends by saying, thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God, and you, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God. Sheep and flock are the people who personally belong to God. Israel is brought back for a price and found. The bring in verse 13 and seeketh out, verse 12, parallel the bought and found through the New Testament parables. The new heart is a promise made to the house of Israel. You will look in vain for the new heart to be put in anyone else. What is the timing? We must look at this timing and see if it is what we have been taught. And with this, note the desolation that is yet to come upon the land of Israel before Israel's return. Other prophets write about this too, but you will not find our modern teachers even mentioning it. They're too busy prophesying smooth things about the Israeli state. These are the false prophets. These are the ones with the dangerous doctrines, every one of them. The prophecies of the dry bones and the two sticks are examples. Our end-time teachers and book writers are extracts from these chapters. But again, they ignore the timing factors of the regathering, as well as exactly who this prophet is addressing. Look at the dry bones in Ezekiel 37. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They're expressly stated to be Israelites, so how could they be anyone else? In verse 14, he says, and I shall place you in your own land. Just who and who only are to be placed in their own land? It is Israel as a people who alone are being addressed. So we must again ask if this gives support for the present Israeli state. To support the Israeli state is to say, in effect, that the resurrection is past. The current teaching about the Israeli state is pure deception. What about the two sticks? Even the Jehovah Witnesses have a play on this one. However, the Bible states the one stick represents Judah, the other Israel. Their companions or fellows. The sticks become joined together. This is a picture of the gathering together of all Israel. It includes no one else. It is not Jews and Gentiles in the popular context. The prophet goes on to say in verses 21 through 23, Ezekiel 37, "Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall no more have to be two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all." Anyone who denies that Israel is made up of just these two people has a serious problem. If they are not prepared to believe this earthly thing, Jesus says they cannot ever believe heavenly things. At present, Israel could not possibly be a singular church, as some teach. The two parties could not possibly be Jews and Gentiles, as is commonly taught. All the komos, or order of Israel, that Jesus is talking about is changed by our teachers to be all the races of the earth. Ezekiel 37:24, "And David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall all shall have one shepherd." Religious denominations teach that Jesus is the king of Christians of all races, but they fail to observe that Jesus says he has gone away to a far country and will return to take his kingdom and be one shepherd to Israel. Those falsely occupying the vineyard part at present will be destroyed with the brightness of his coming. The vineyard is not the whole earth, it is a specific area of the earth. Ezekiel 37:25, "And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, and my servant David shall be their prince forever." This land is a defined area on earth, being that given to Jacob. There is both racial separation and place separation. Ezekiel 37:28, "And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore." In these verses we see two groups, the heathen and Israel. They are two completely separated entities. Ezekiel 39:21, "And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them." Verse 22 and 23, "So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward, and the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity." Verse 25, "Thus saith the Lord God, Now I will bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name." Verse 27, "And am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations." Verse 28, "Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them Israel unto their own land." Verse 29, "Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit unto the house of Israel." Note here the segregation of Israel from the other nations. The mercy upon Israel is in the sight of many nations. So Israel and these many nations coexist, but are separate. On whom do the prophets say the spirit is poured out? Do the prophets say it is poured out upon all races? From Joel 28 and from the New Testament, we have been taught that all flesh is not limited to Israel's sons and daughters, even if Israel are the people being addressed. But all flesh is almost always the all flesh of Israel. The important thing to note in connection with the gathering of Israel is that Israel is still a separate racial entity from the entire other nations. Not only at this late state of this present age, but into the next age. It is impossible that Israel has become a multiracial church. There is no prophecy at all about any portion of anyone of any race other than the 12 tribes. God's sanctuary is stated to be in the midst of Israel and not in the midst of the heathen nations or races. At the end of Ezekiel, we find listed the apportioning of the land which is divided according to the tribes of Israel. All those who want to continue to call the tribes of Israel, the church, will continue to blur what is on the pages of the Bible in black and white. The more this subject is examined, the more impossible the popular evangelical teachings become. Well, what does Daniel say about the regathering? The stone kingdom of Daniel 3 is touched upon earlier in this chapter. Why not proclaim the kingdom of heaven and a summary of the position of Daniel 7? In Daniel 7:13-14, "One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed." Yet again, this kingdom is separate from other peoples and nations. The other people are servants to Israel. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of Israel, has the whole earth and all the other people in subjection. At the end of this book of Daniel, the archangel Michael standeth for the children of thy, Daniel's people. Daniel's people are Israel. The limitation is specific. Again, there is no suggestion of a church in the way it is presumed today. Well, what about Hosea? What does he have to say? Hosea 1:10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass that in a place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said of them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. Here again we find the separation of the two houses. Peter in the New Testament quotes Hosea and does not say anything about anyone other than a singular nation. He is writing to Israel. Hosea 8:10, yea, though they, Israel, have hired among the nations, now I will gather them. God says he will then be as the dew to Israel. But note, none of these things are said to anyone of any other race. Israel is scattered among the other nations. Well, what about Joel, prophet Joel? What did he say about the regathering? In those days of the pouring out, the blood and fire, the pillars and smoke, the sun being turned into darkness, the moon into blood, Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be delivered. This is the time when God says he will be jealous for his land and pity his people. God's people expressed as being Israel are still that entity. The land is still the same area. The other races are still separate. Joel 3:1 and 2, in those days I will plead with them there for my people and for their heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. God says that his heritage is still the unchanged nation of Israel, who are my people. It is not the church in the common concept. My land is still parted today. The remnant left of God's people are not raptured away from this time and trouble. They are very much present. Joel points out that at that time the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. The children of Israel are not multiracial non-Israelites. No strangers will pass through Jerusalem anymore after this regathering. Note this well in verse 17 of Joel 3. This means that such must be passing through Jerusalem up to this time. We can see that this passing through the strangers is not God's intention, and the effect of the mixed multitude within Israel is always to Israel's detriment. Also, what about the prophet Amos? What did he have to say about the regathering? Amos 9:11 through 15. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall rebuild the waste cities, and I will plant them upon their own land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord. Amos did not prophesy about any rapture. Our modern teachers like to take an expression like rebuild the waste cities, and then say, this is what is happening in Israel's state today. Cities are being built, but the tabernacle of David is not raised up, neither has the sun gone down at noonday. The cities of the land have never been devastated so much that there is not a person in a blade of grass or even a fish, as Zephaniah 1, 2, and 3 says. This must come to pass before the notable day of the Lord and before Israel returns to the land. This level of destruction has never happened. Yet to what is commonly called the Holy Land. The wasted cities will then be rebuilt by Israel, but not before this time. That which is being built now in Palestine must be something other than the prophets are talking about concerning Israel. We will see that the reference to the remnant of Edom in verse 12 is confirmed when we quote from Obadiah, these people falsely calling themselves Jews will be exterminated. Obadiah 1:17, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. This is a time when Israel displaces Edom. The house of Jacob never means all races. Neither was Obadiah a believer in a multiracial church. What about the regathering in Micah? Micah 2:12, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together. Micah agrees with all the other prophets that the gathering only involves Israelites. When Israel is gathered, Micah tells the position of the other nations in chapter 4, verse 2. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This is the same time when Jesus rules with Israel over the nations with a rod of iron. The nations shall see and be confounded at that might. Metaphorically, the other nations are to lick this dust, Micah 7:17. For the duration of the millennium, there is no more war among the nations, all of whom are still separate from Israel. Israel is described as a nation, as are the others. Other nations and Israel are always separate people in Scripture. All the prophets agree. Micah 5:7 and 8, And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the land. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles, among the nations, in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest. Micah goes on to remind us of the doctrine of Balaam, and that to walk humbly with her God, Israel must avoid the idolatry that comes through racial intermarriage. Get that again. Israel must avoid the idolatry that comes through racial intermarriage. Idolatry always is a reason through Scripture for judgment upon Israel. Balaam prophesied blessing upon Israel when Israel dwelt as a separate people. Moabite intermarriage with Israel destroyed this separation, leading to an idol worship. As with the other prophets, Micah concludes with the usual message in verse 20 of chapter 7, Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Despite what all the prophets have to say about this subject, it is ignored or spiritualized by most all of today's teachers. What about the regathering of Nahum, the prophet Nahum? Chapter 2, verse 2, For the Lord God turned away, gathered, that's the word gathered, the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. But Nahum is just as exclusive about Israel as the others. What about Habakkuk? Habakkuk says in chapter 2 and chapter 3, You went forth for the salvation of thy people, the salvation of thy anointed. Israel is anointed, separated. To call Israel's God anointed is never taught today. It could be not possibly be taught together with popular concepts. This was covered in the chapter entitled Seeds, Natural and Spiritual. When we consider the time factor of chapter 3, when the Lord goes forth for the salvation of his people, this is the time of the second advent, Habakkuk 3, 3-6. It is at the time of judgment. Habakkuk 3:18, Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. This is the message of Habakkuk, gave to the chief singer about the salvation of the anointed people, Israel. It must be a very important message. What about the regathering by the prophet of Zephaniah? Zephaniah 3:17, 18, and 20. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. I will gather them that are sorrowful. At that time I will gather you again, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes. In this passage, the word gather is found twice. Although Zephaniah was a prophet to Judah, the last chapter speaks of the remnant of Israel and of the fulfillment beyond the return of Judah from Babylon. Israel is still found to be separate among all the people of the earth. What about Haggai? He says, according to the word in chapter 2, verse 5, that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. What about Zechariah? Chapter 2, verse 5, For I saith the Lord, I will be unto her a wall of fire round about Jerusalem, and will be the glory in the midst of her. And Zechariah 8:7-8, Behold, I will save my people, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people. Zechariah 10:6, And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and will save the house of Joseph, and will bring them again to the place, and place them. For I have mercy upon them, and they will be as though I had not cast them off. The following chapters of this book tell of the continuing separation of all Israel from other races, and also the separation within Israel. Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives feature in a geographical way. Once again, the non-Israel nations come up to Jerusalem from year to year to worship the king. The very last verse of this book says, "And there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts." This means that the Canaanite must presently be in the house of the Lord. It is the doctrine of those with Canaanite blood that this book is opposing. Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." What about the regathering mentioned by Malachi? Racial admixture is expressed as "hath married the daughters of a strange god." And we see that the Lord will cut off the man that does this, both the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob. It seems that most of our masters and scholars will be cut off because of what they're teaching. We have seen how other prophets say the same thing about the false prophets, who will be able to abide the day of his coming. The great and dreadful day of the Lord is at hand. In Malachi 4:4-6, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children the heart to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." The last book of the Old Testament tells of the gathering and who will be entered into the book of remembrance. Again, it is a remnant of the sons of Jacob, "and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Also, "this day will burn like an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." So what are we saying? Let us not be too proud to admit what the Lord of hosts says about the regathering of the remnant of the exclusive sons of Jacob. This subject of the regathering of Israel and the gospel of the kingdom have much in common. The people involved have the same racial identity. It is essential that we believe the right gospel, applying it to the same people that Scripture does. Prophesying timing, the regathering is not necessarily the same as the prophesying and timing of the second coming of Christ. We will now go to the New Testament, where we find no change from what we found in the Old Testament. Let me say it again so that you won't forget, that prophesying the timing of the regathering of Israel is not necessarily the same as the prophesying and timing of the second coming of Christ. We're going to the New Testament. In the covering of the Old Testament, we found a consistent prophetical stream presented showing the regathering of Israel is, number one, to be fulfilled in only one people, and that's Israel. It is to be involved in a specific place, that is, land which was given to the fathers. Number three, it's brought about by God, who does the gathering. Number four, it is for a people, Israel, who are gathered out of all the nations, but not of the nations. Number five, for a nation, Israel, who remain racially separate from the other races, even after the second advent. Does not include Jews that are of the Edomite bloodline. Six, for two houses, the house of Israel, the house of Judah, who remained separate parts of Israel until the enmity between them is broken, and under the new covenant they shall be gathered together. Number seven, not completed in this present age. The gathering is either concurrent with the return of Jesus, or it is even after his return. At the end of this chapter, we'll briefly look at a common conception that Jesus is the epitome of the seed of Abraham, and if the Abrahamic covenant has thus been fulfilled, which is not true. Now, we will go through the New Testament and show that the presentation about the regathering of Israel is exactly the same as that of the Old Testament. For instance, in Matthew 1:21 says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 2:6, that shall rule my people Israel. The expression his people is specific. Throughout the Old Testament, his people describes Israel only. John the Baptist declares that this is he that was spoken of by the prophets Isaiah. And John the Baptist goes on to the first New Testament mention of a gathering of the Lord's people. Matthew 3:12, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That same thing is gathered and something is burnt shows that there are differences between people in the eyes of God. All men are not created equal. Later, Jesus takes up the theme of the wheat in the parable of the tares and the wheat. If only one thing bears repeating, it is the statement that the tares are gathered and burned before the wheat is gathered. The chaff are burned after the harvest. What we are looking at in particular is the time frame, or the order of events of these two gatherings. Jesus gives the same time as being in the time of harvest, and this is given as being at the end of the age. It is at that time when the Son of Man sends forth his angels to remove from out of his kingdom all things that offend them, and he will gather together his people. As was seen to be the case through the Old Testament, the bad are removed from out of the kingdom. It is never the good who are raptured away, leaving the bad behind. The wicked are ever separated from among the just. Matthew 13:49, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. It is this principle that our popular teachers deny. Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou hast killed the prophets, stoned them that are sent unto thee. How often would I gather thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. The people gathered are your children. They are still the descendants of the same people. Matthew 24 says, I immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The language is similar to that of the Old Testament, where the prophets say Israel will be gathered together. Once again, we see the gathering of his elect nation is before Jesus descends on the Mount of Olives, thus confirming what all the prophets say. We can see again the consistency of the message. Matthew 25 says, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It is the king who does the separating, so the king must have returned at this time to take up the kingdom, and his separation concerns only the potential occupants of the kingdom. The separation of the tares from the wheat is before this time. In this verse, we have mention of the inheritance. Through the Old Testament, the inheritance is shown to be an area of land on this earth, which is promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his descendants. True, in Romans, it also includes all of the earth. The regathering in the other Gospels as follows, John 11:50-52. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not, and not for that nation only, but also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. The traditionalists would like to say that this gathering in one refers to Jews and Gentiles, supposedly meaning Israelites and non-Israelites being gathered together. But Caiaphas isolated the whole nation and their position as children of God. In this passage, we see that Jesus would not die for the house of Judah only, but for the children of God, inclusive of the house of Israel, who were then scattered. This confirms what the prophets say about the gathering together of Israel and Judah. What about the book of Acts? Acts 1:6-7, when they, the apostles, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. Jesus didn't deny that the kingdom would be restored. He just said it another time. You shall not have gone over the cities of Israel, he says, before the Son of Man be come. They were to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 10:6. It was demonstrated earlier in the chapter that a stumbling block to an exclusive Israel, to many, is that it is not a gospel for everyone. The question was asked, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom? In this restoration time, the apostles were told that they would sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What is the New Testament gathering time? Going back to Matthew 24, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. At this trump of God, the dead in Christ and anointed people are raised. 1 Corinthians 15:52 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This refers to the elect as opposed to the final steps of the regathering of Israel. But both events occur in the area of the second event. Therefore, it is a bit hard to imagine that this trumpet's reverberation has already happened, especially if any want to continue to say that the Israeli state today represents the regathering of Israel. Matthew says that this is immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now we beseech you, brethren, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:1-17, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. The subject people are brethren, kinsmen of the womb. They are Israelites. What we find today is a great falling away from this fact. And the source of the inquiry is Rome and the doctrines that originate from that source. In the context of Israel, Paul says, in Hebrews 9:28, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The present Israeli state was formed through Zionist political determination together with political alliances, military might, and violence, not by the Lord. Because this is contrary to the way of prophecy showing repentance, trust in God alone, and a totally different manner and attitude at the time of the regathering, the Israeli state has no divine right as claim to the inheritance of land. Yet this is the common assumption of most denominational churches. They have been fooled by the so-called Jews, but who are not Jews through their use of the name Israel. It is this Israeli state who call themselves Jews. These are abiding in unbelief and in hatred towards the Redeemer of Israel. Jesus said that these wicked husbandmen will be destroyed when he returns to take his kingdom. Has the Abrahamic covenant been fulfilled? There are those who teach that the Abrahamic covenant has been fulfilled, declaring that the promise to Abraham concerning territory was fulfilled when David established his dominion from the Euphrates to the Nile and confirmed with Solomon. That statement, like, and has given them the land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, show that the seed of Abraham was fulfilled in Jesus, the true seed of Abraham, and the covenant objective reality. Both statements completely ignore what God said concerning the amount of land Israel would inherit during that period, and the statements of David concerning the fact that Israel was not going to remain in the promised land. They also ignore what is said by the post-Solomon prophets, together with what is said in the New Testament about the regathering to the land that was given to the fathers of Israel. Neither David nor Solomon possessed the land forever as provided for in the original covenant statement. The house of Israel, the house of Judah, will reunite and return to the land under Jesus as king when he returns to take up his kingdom. The second statement generally ignores the fact that Jeremiah observes that the disobedience of the people was the fulfillment of Deuteronomy and others, Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 28. If the statement was true, then the present separate identity of Judah and Israel could not also be true. This argument about the seed of Abraham has raged for centuries, but the conclusion presented in this book is a straightforward answer to what have been made into a complex matter. Israel remains exclusive. We have discussed what all the nations being blessed in Abraham means. The king will return and he will take his kingdom with its territory, the covenant land, and the forever of the Abrahamic covenant will be fulfilled in Jesus. Those elect overcomers, the sons of God, resurrected at the second event, will reign with him on earth, Revelation 11:15. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It is easy to confuse the many prophecies related to Israel. For instance, Nathan the prophet told David that Israel would live in a land not given to the fathers. 2 Samuel 7:10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before times. Also, God said that his people would be living in the isles of Western Europe to North America. Isaiah 11:11, and it came to pass in that day that the Lord set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam and Shinar and Hamath, and from the isles of the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in that the fires, even the name of the Lord, God of Israel, in the isles of the seas. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praises in the islands. Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified them. This place is given by Isaiah as the isles north and west of Jerusalem. Isaiah 49:12, behold, these shall come from far, and lo, those from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim, Australia, and New Zealand. Revelation chapter 20, Ezekiel 20-39, indicate the timing. Satan was bound while Jesus was here, and kept bound until God's people would be removed across Europe to their new home. Satan was then released and allowed to deceive the nations and gather them for a final battle with God over his people. There is no rapture. The wicked will be removed, not the righteous. There is no dispensationalist or millennialism. Also, it is obvious that after the resurrection of all redeemed Israel, the small area of the Middle East will not hold them all, so the regathering to the land of the fathers must have some meaning that we cannot yet see. Paul said that Abraham and his seed were to be heirs of the whole world. Romans 4:13. For the promise, this is a quote, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It is the tabernacle of David, the 24 elders of Israel, or some other number, that will be regathered to the land. God will reveal it at his time. Are we all in the where are we in the timeline? Even Jesus said that no one knew the day nor the hour, nor even he himself at the time. To speculate is sinful, but to be wise is to read the sign and study the prophets, the Psalms, and the law. It is my best speculation at this point that Satan was loosed when Israel finished her sin payment of seven times, or 2,552 years. It ended in 1776 when America became an independent nation under God. It was also the same year that the Illuminati was formed, and Satan began to form the United Nations, circling the city of the saints. Israel's sin has always been race mixing. Today it is the sin, most of all, that is destroying us by forcing God to withdraw his blessing and protection. I believe that he will raise up a banner against the enemies of Israel. Either way, it will be judgment and victory for all of us. We are all to be lookers. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without its sin unto salvation. It must be remembered that the regathering of Israel and the second coming of Christ are two different prophecies, not necessarily related in time or event. While Israel is regathered in Europe, North America, Greenland, Iceland, Australia, and New Zealand today, there will be another gathering after the Lord Jesus returns. Let us be faithful and busy for the kingdom and spend less time hypothesizing about the date and the time.